let's bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer, and we thank Him for the many, many blessings. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray that You continue to keep the message straight out of the Word, Father, so I can continue to disciple the Christian, Lord, and reach out to the lost. Now, Father, I ask for You to bless this message today as I preach on the stewardship of time. Bless it in a mighty way, Father, for it's all about serving You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I heard a poem one time, and it went something like this. It was titled, Time. This day is thine, a shining gift from heaven, gleaned for thy use from treasuries of time, given in trust to hold until the even. This day is thine, a sacred charge sublime. This day is thine to be what thou shalt make of it, hidden in self or used in service fine. When thou shalt bring it back to Him who gave it, what will it be, this golden day of thine? This day is thine, thy yesterdays are finished. Soon will the present join the changeless past. Will its bright hours be greater for thy keeping, or by the dreaded rust of waste o'ercast? This day is thine, there may be no tomorrows. This day is thine from dawn till setting sun. May thou at even, like a worthy steward, hear in thy heart the Master's words, well done. That poem was written by Verna Winery, and it meant a lot to my heart. I thought it was really interesting. Folks, time is precious. Tuesday night, I was leaving Druid Hills, and I was driving toward Winston, and they called me on the cell phone from Forsyth Memorial Hospital and said, I need for you to come over here. I was on call from 5 in the evening until 9 in the morning. A lady had given birth to a little 27-week-old child, and the child just lived a few moments, and its little heart quit beating, and she had requested to see the chaplain. So I went over there, and I thought, how precious those few moments that she'll always remember in the life of that child, those few moments that she was able to see that child squirm or move just a little bit, and she would hold the baby, and I prayed with her, and we had a lot of family around her, and her mother was there with just tears just dropping off of her face, and it was a sad time. I kept thinking in my mind, you know, the precious, precious time spent with that child. Its life on earth was just a short, short amount of time, but that mother will remember that for the rest of her life. And it also teaches our own mortality. It teaches us many, many things, that we cannot bring that child back, but we can go to Him. And that's what King David said when his son passed away. Breaking news to the people and trying to encourage them, sometimes it's hard. And you say, well, why do you do that, Pastor? Because God called me to preach. I don't get a dime for stuff like that, but I do it, and I volunteer because God has called me, and I want to be there for folks. And I've had the privilege, oh, what a joyous privilege, of leading several people to the Lord. Because of one death 2 years ago, I was able to lead over 15 people to the Lord in one family. Now, praise the Lord, I have preached a funeral and given an invitation at the end of the funeral. That sounds strange or crazy, but I preached a funeral one time where people had been really fighting kind of among themselves, and over 7 people got saved at the funeral, and I thought that was pretty awesome. You know, I have to redeem my time just like you redeem your time. And when I look at the stewardship of time, it reminds me of something that I read over in Psalms in chapter 90, verses 9 through 12. So won't you turn with me today, if you have your Bibles, to Psalms in 90, verses 9 through 12. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Boy, that's true, isn't it? I mean, as I look back on my life, it doesn't seem like the years should be slipping away as quickly as they are. This July, I'll be married 32 years, and I don't know where the time has went. My wife asked me a while back, she says, you know, do you have any regrets, us marrying as young as we did? And, you know, I said, yes, I do, and it astounded her. And I thought I was going to get in trouble for a minute. I said, but hear me out, hang on, hear me out. I said, I regret not getting married sooner because there was so much that I wanted to do with a marriage. You know, we had a house and home and children, and it's just exciting what God can bless you with in this world if you keep your eyes on Him. For all our days are passed away in wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who wanteth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, time is God's gift to man. Each of us is given 24 hours a day, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds. John S. McCullen says, our life is entrusted to us by God. 24 hours of life every day. God trusts us to use these hours in the way most useful to Him, and therefore most meaningful and joyous to us. The stewardship of time is our responsibility to use all 24 hours of the day. Do you know the derivative of the word steward? We use it all the time in church. We talk about being a steward of this, and we talk about stewardship of time and stewardship of talents and stewardship of treasure, and we talk about trying to be good stewards of God's money. I mean, I say that all the time when we talk about money issues in the church. But originally the word steward, when I went to look it up, it meant ward of the sty, which means a keeper of pigs. You know, I thought that was kind of funny, but we do need to be good stewards. My first point is this, and I want you to see this. Time is so precious. When I was reading some works of President Eliot of Harvard University, he was quoted with saying, God entrusts us with nothing more valuable than time. Without it, money is valueless, and the stewardship of money is meaningless. An old Irish proverb puts it, time is so precious that it's dealt out to us only in the smallest possible fraction, a tiny moment at a time. You know, nothing is so dear and precious as time. Dr. Guffin, who is a professor of Howard College, said, indeed, few things are as precious as time, and little or nothing has value in this world apart from time. John R. Rice said, time, like diamonds, is precious because of its scarcity. Time is, in some sense, the most valuable thing in the world. A man may be a multimillionaire, but he still has only 24 hours a day. I'm looking at another quote from Thomas A. Edison. Time is the most important thing in the world. So you see, time is precious. Even the world knows how precious time is as it matures, as people mature, as they get older, as they realize what time is to them. The second point that I want you to see is this. Time is swiftly passing by. The inaudible and noiseless foot of time treads relentlessly on. Come what may, time and the hour runs through the roughest day. That's a quote from Shakespeare. But you know, there is a better tool to remind us that our days are few, and it's found in 1 Corinthians in chapter 7 and verse 29. The Bible reminds us of this. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. And see, the Bible pictures the length of a man's life as even grass in Psalms 103, verses 15 and 16. As for man, his day are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. How about a shadow? For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there's none abiding. In Psalms 144, in verse 4, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Many people have heard the quote from the Bible over in the book of James in chapter 4 in verse 14, but it compares our life to a vapor, wherein as ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, a man has about 600,000 hours of life at his disposal. So if you live to be 65 years of age, you could calculate the years and the hours that you got left. And when you start putting it in that perspective, it teaches us that we have so little time here on this earth, and eternity is forever, and we need to prepare for that journey that is to come. Since the average individual is 18 before they complete high school, that only leaves us about 47 years, or maybe 412,000 hours to live after graduation. So if you spend 8 hours a day sleeping, 8 hours for personal, social, and recreational activities, and then 8 hours for working, that amounts to about 133 hours in each category. And when you think of the time that we have to work and play it in terms of hours, it doesn't seem like much. And when seen in the light of eternity, it's just a fleeting speck, just a fleeting moment. How important that we spend our waking hours wisely. And may our prayer be that of the psalmist found in Psalms 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. For you see, here's one of the points I wanted to get to. We talked about the stewardship of time and how time is so precious and how it's passing by. The third point that I have is, time is to be redeemed. In Ephesians in chapter 5, in verse 15 and 16, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So be careful how you act. These are difficult days. Don't be fools. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity that you have for doing good. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to do. And the way a person uses his time determines in the sight of God whether he is a wise man or he's a fool. Now, the word walk refers to the way one lives, and circumspectly means looking all around, giving attention to all circumstances as one might do when passing through maybe a hazardous place or a dangerous place. And the idea is that the Christian is to live into conformity to a high standard, ever guarding against anything that would be improper for us to have a part in. I see another word here in the scripture that we just read. I see redeem. Redeem is a market term. It means to buy out, to purchase. And then I see time. Time is a translation of a Greek word which came to mean opportunity. To redeem the time means to buy out the opportunity, to make the most of the time that we have and to use it in the best way possible, and none of us do it. We need to redeem the time. We all know that opportunities for service for God and man are brief seasons that soon slip away, never to return. I've dealt with many, many persons in the hospital, some of them on their deathbed, just saying, oh, if I just had one more chance to witness to somebody or to go back and relive my life. Don't have these kind of regrets. The wise Christian is urged to seize any opportunity that they may have and to use them while we can. Lost wealth can be replaced by industry, or lost knowledge by study, or lost health by temperance or medicine, but lost time, it's gone forever. Benjamin Franklin said, dost thou love life? Then don't squander time, for that's the stuff life is made of. See, we cannot create a moment. We can't borrow a moment. We can't destroy a moment, but we may use, misuse, or waste time. Ramsay MacDonald said, more men have wrecked their lives by being careless of time than being careless of money. The odd moment is the most precious opportunity of life. Horace Mann wrote, lost somewhere between sunrise and sunset, two golden hours, each set with 60 diamond minutes. No reward is offered, for they're gone forever. The proper use of our time is one of the greatest challenges we face today. Work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Dillard stated in the book Good Stewards, we Americans are the greatest wasters in the world. Others could live on what we throw away. That is so true. And the greatest waste is not in mere physical things, but in wasted time, wasted talents, and wasted lives. The prodigal son, he wasted his money, his health, but most of all, he wasted his time. The French proverb, all the treasures of earth cannot buy back one lost moment. Queen Elizabeth's last words are said to have been, all my possessions for just a moment in time. Andrew Carnegie is reported to have said just before his death, I would give $200 million for 10 years more of life. Arnold Bennett, in his book, How to Live on 24 Hours a Day, reminds us of the value and the use of time. And as the days go fleeting by of time, he says this, it is inexplicable raw material of everything. With it all is possible, without it nothing. The supply of time is truly a daily miracle, an affair genuinely astonishing when one examines it. You wake up in the morning and lo, your purse is magically filled with 24 hours, the unmanufactured tissue of the universe of your life. It's yours. It's the most precious of possessions. You have to live on this 24 hours of daily time. Out of it you have to spend health, pleasure, money, content, respect, and the evaluation of your immortal soul. Its right use, its most effective use, it is a matter of highest urgency and the most thrilling actuality. It all depends on that. The fourth point is, I don't have the time. Man, I hear that so often. I just don't have the time to come to church. I don't have time to get saved. I'll go talk to the preacher one day. And then people step out into eternity time after time again. I don't have the time. So often I hear this. This truth remains that each of us has as much time as anyone else, and the difference lies in what use we make of it. I read a poem, and it puts it like this. Time shares its seconds, moments, hours with every creature born, with each new day from morn to eve, and then from eve to morn. Each one is given equal share to make his choice of use, if he would from it profit gain or mar it with abuse. Rice said, a man may give away money without affecting his life as a particle. Some men can give away $1 million and have just as much to eat, just as many fine clothes, just as nice a car, but no one can give time without giving of his very life and altering his plans. Everyone who gives time gives up other things he would do in that time. So God demands of his people that they take time to serve him. No time for God. What fools we are to clutter up our lives with common things and leave without heart's gate the Lord of life and life itself. No time for God. It's soon to say no time to eat or sleep or love or die. Take time for God, or you shall dwarf your soul, and when the angel death comes knocking at your door, a poor misshapen thing you'll be to step into eternity. No time for God. That day when sickness comes or troubles find you out and you cry out for God, will he have time for you? No time for God. Wonderful poem. Kind of brings it up, kind of sums everything up. You know, time is a tool of God. It becomes supernatural in the process of nature, turning bodies into dust, events into memories, and accomplishments into fame. Listen to what I'm saying this morning. Time is a gift of God, giving us opportunity to live, to laugh, to love, to sow, and to reap. Time is an equal commodity. We cannot borrow it. We can't work harder and earn more of it. We can't hoard it. All we can do is spend it. And we do well to remember it is time to seek the Lord in Hosea 10:12. It's time that Christian people seek God's will, and having learned what it is, do it. Do it while we have the time. In James in chapter 4 and verses 13 through 17, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's high time that the lost seek the Savior. Today, right now. The Bible reminds us that today is the day of salvation. Lost friend, you may not have another day. In fact, you're not promised another hour. Take care of this all-important matter now. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and as your Savior. Would you bow your head with me? Would you say, Lord Jesus, I confess my sins and I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, won't you come into my heart and save me? I believe that God raised you from the dead, Father, and I trust you to be Lord and Savior of my life. If you just said that prayer, my Bible tells me that you are saved and you're sealed to the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. Dear Christian, if you're out there, get your heart and your life together today and redeem the time for God. Don't get caught up in working 100 hours a week or working 50 and 60 and 70 hours a week. Even the shepherd on the hill took time to examine their own existence. You get in credit card debt, you buy cars. It's better not to have hardly anything, but to have the time that God give you. Don't burn your life out. Don't burn your life up. Use it for God. Use it for God today.